Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I am Dr. Bessie, sitting in at the roundtable this morning, excited, just very excited, you know, about all the things that that's going on. Just amazing. Of course, I am still in this phase of making it happen. Let's see, this morning I just want to say thank you. It is absolutely a pleasure to be back on radio. We was not on last Saturday morning, and I want to apologize to the audience in a good way. I mean, we wasn't on because of anything negative. We was on because we were preaching the gospel and doing the healing process is what the Lord had assigned us to do. So that was our assignment for last week, and it was awesome. It was awesome. A group of women came together and just loved on each other. I tell you, we need to do more of that. So before I get going on running my mouth, doing a lot of talking here, let me go to our co-host just a moment. Let me notify the media that we're on and that we are ready to discuss what the Lord has placed on our hearts. So let's do that first, and then we can come back and get into what the Lord is telling us to talk about this morning. So thank you for being patient with me. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to the switchboard here. Good morning, audience, I tell you. Let's see. You know, I thought I had this thing all together this morning. I was walking around just relaxing and actually having my cup of coffee and talking to the Lord, and came back to the switchboard and realized, you know, you really must have skipped something in your mind because you didn't even set up the board. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I was so excited about this morning and getting back on the radio that I really didn't do my due diligence and did part of it, and I decided I would get my coffee and relax and talking to the Lord. And when I got on, like, you didn't do one of the main key things that you should have done. But anyway, I'm on. It's good. So I know you got a busy day today. But before we all get started, can you give us a prayer, and then we'll do a little discussion
absolutely.
And see what the Lord wants us to share.
Absolutely. Dear Father, we come thanking you, God, for this is the day that you have made, and you have given us the ability to be joyful in it. It's a choice, and so we choose this day to be joyful. Father God, we thank you, Father, for everything that you've done and that you continue to do in this ministry and for our listeners. Father God, we have so much to be thankful for every day that you allow us another chance. And so, Father God, I was at an event last night, and I just thank you for what my eyes seen and heard. And every day that you give us, get another chance. And that was the message I walked away with, another chance to get it right, another chance to use our gifts and our talents, another chance to be part of a solution for the world. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for all our listeners, Father God, because they can be doing anything on this day, but they choose to tune in to hear the good news. Father, we thank you for our leader, Dr. Fletcher. We thank you for our staff, Dr. Jean and Angie and myself. I thank you, Father God, that we are looking so forward to this up-and-coming year favor that you've given us with the DOC, Department of Corrections, and we are just grateful to be used by you. So give us ears to hear as Dr. Fletcher bring the message forth this morning. We thank you, God, for Deborah. I pray that she's on, and if she's not, I pray that she's well. I thank you, God, for all that you continue to put in our hearts. We're like little children, just anticipating the unfolding of all that you have for us and all that you have for us. And so with that, Father God, I say thank you. And I say amen, amen, and amen.
All right. Yeah, Deborah just texted me and said, she texted me last night late and said that I wanted to know if we was on today. And then she just texted me a few minutes ago. She's, said she haven't, she's trying to, she's experiencing something problems with her phone. And so she's having problems trying to call in. It's a kind of tinkling noise. So.
Well, sometimes you just need to turn the phone off and turn it back on, and that'll take care of that. I have that issue not often, but sometimes. So that's all she needs to do is turn it off and turn it back on, and that'll take care of it. I'll text her and suggest
I just text her and told her that.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's what was holding me up there. Okay. Well, I just want to say, you know, it is such an exciting time, audience. You know, Cynthia and I both, we just want to get the prayer out. You know, we're excited. Dr. Jean, she's not on this morning, but she's with us. And, you know, with Al and Paul and Cynthia and myself, we just, and Angie, and, you know, we just absolutely are excited about what the Lord has placed in our hearts and the things that we've been doing over the years. You know, God is just blessing us in a mighty way, and his word is fulfilling as we speak right now. So I'm very careful to listen and to not move so fast, because right now is a bottleneck. What I call the bottleneck experience, Cynthia. You're right in the bottleneck, and you got to make sure you turn the head the right way. I can hear some noise in the background. I don't know if it's coming from you, I guess. But
I just moved the phone.
Okay. Well, you know how stuff come across on this thing. It picks up every noise. You almost have to stay stiff because it'll just pick up a sound. But anyway, audience, we are just experiencing the Lord and just want to say we encourage you to stay the course. Whatever God is asking you to do, just believe that he's asked you to do it. I was listening to a minister yesterday morning, and he said the minute the Lord asks you to do something, you know, the minister was Joyce Myers. It just hit me who it was. And she said, you know the Lord asked you to do it. You know in your heart. And then you won't let the enemy come through somebody else. They'll try to convince you that's not what he told you to do. And then all of a sudden you just give up. And you decide, well, maybe that's not what he told me to do, when you know in your heart he told you to do that. And so when that's the one thing I like about Cynthia and myself, you know, when it was more than us and then it was just the two of us. And, you know, we had people on the sideline, but I'm just talking about the main court right here. We knew what God said. And we just kept going. We just kept going. And now God is revealing his wonders because we were obedient and we kept going. So don't quit. I don't care what it looks like, how it feels. Lord knows you could you want to quit, but don't quit. Just keep going, and I guarantee you, man, you'll see his hands move. He cannot lie. His hands will move. So it was a wonderful program last Saturday, you know, Cynthia, when we were there with Maria and her group of women, the ladies that came out to love on each other. It was just absolutely wonderful to have the women to come out and support each other, and everybody was looking so beautiful. I'm telling you, it was like you walk into a bed of roses or something. When I walked in that room, I was like, whoa. They stood out. They were dressed. They were prepared. Just gorgeous. And the Holy Spirit showed up and showed out. Now, I tell you, people say showed up and showed out. That's a cliche, and it may be, but it's a reality. The Holy Spirit showed up and showed out, and people were healed and mentally and I believe physically as well. So what were your take on it, Cynthia?
Well, my take on it was that, like you said, it just needs to be more of it done. And the biggest part for me was when you were doing your presentation and the Holy Spirit was moving. And we just knew that it was a message that needed to be said, because we do allow people to talk us out of our dreams. God is calling us. The very person that had the experience, she came to me earlier and she said, I want to get involved. I want to get involved. But she's been telling us she wanted to get involved for years back. And she just keep, you know, not allowing herself to go there because it's all out of fear. We don't do what God would have us to do out of fear. And so she has a lucrative business, and she's a realtor. And so she has that, and she's holding on to it for dear life. And that's what talk us out of doing what God would have us to do. People don't understand, Dr. Fletcher, that we have an avocation and a vocation. And we must, once God show it to us, we must walk forward in it no matter what. And everything else, we do that on the side. This is your call on your life. Dr. Fletcher, he showed up in a major way, and we got that message that we all have a gift and a talent, and God is waiting on us to use those gifts and talents. And we can try to run and hide all we want, but all we do is bring on the curse of God when we're not doing what he's called us to do. And I really believe that, and it was evident last week.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's so amazing. I'm just going to say a couple more things about this, and then we'll move on. But I knew when it took so much for me to get there. You know what I'm saying? I said, oh, my goodness, the Holy Spirit's going to show up, and somebody's going to get a healing. You know, I just knew that because I tried everything to get there. And at the last minute, when he thought he had me trapped and I couldn't get there, then the Lord said, no, she's going. But the Lord had told me I said, well, Lord, maybe I'm not supposed to go, okay? If I'm not supposed to go, then the Holy Spirit tell me. And then a few minutes later, I felt in my spirit, this voice said, oh, no, you're going. You're going. And I said, okay, then. So I just settled myself down. Because, you know, and it's me trying to call everybody, trying to figure it out. I just want to settle down. And at that moment, he told me to call Maria. And that, you know, because the enemy tried to, oh, don't say nothing, don't say nothing, you know, try to shame me. And I was just about to fall into that game until the Lord said, no, call Maria and tell her. And when I told her, she said, oh, no, you got to be here. And that's when it seemed like everything burst and the ticket was found and, you know, everything was done within 10 minutes. And I was like, wow, all day long, I'm fighting this demon. He tried to talk me out of, oh, well, you know, you ain't supposed to go. You ain't supposed to go. Well, let me just ask the Holy Spirit, since you know so much. You don't know nothing. You know, that's what we got to do. Stop listening to his crazy stuff. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I was like, yeah, you're going. Okay, then I'm good. And that settled it for me. But long story short, you know, we got there. The Lord did what he was supposed to do. And she was healed, and he gave me the message to give to her. If you believe, You will never experience that again in your life. And I told her, you can take that and do what you want to do with it. But you got to believe that he just said, if you believe him, you won't ever have to go through that experience again. So there again, it's about choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. But other than that, Dr. Fletcher, it was a great event, and I would encourage any woman or any women group who has the heart of God to continue to do these type of events. And it's just simply, it was like a talk. And yes, you brought the word, but it was really a message for women who have dreams and hopes for their lives.
Yeah.
And we all have those because it's called intuition, and God give it to us all. That's one thing we all have in common. We all have a call. We all have hopes and dreams. And so when we don't allow those things to be birthed, you are doing God and yourself a disservice, ladies. That's my take on it. Thank you for allowing me to share on that because it was just a phenomenal event.
It was. And this blessings to Maria for doing it. You know, she has a heart for women and she just, you know, always just want to love on somebody. And it's just absolutely wonderful that she chose to do it and they love it. And it was just, you know, like I say, it was awesome too. It was awesome. All right, so this morning, Cynthia, we got to catch the audience back up. You know, audience, we wasn't here last week, and so you know, a couple people, you know, I'm sure it was like, what in the world's happening? Where are they? Things happen and twist around so fast that we're getting better. We're getting better because I'm going to get someone to actually help run this radio program that when we're not here, something is on. Technology is not my big thing, and I'm not going to lean on that as a weakness, but I'm going to learn how to do better. That's what I'm. That's my goal. So, Cynthia, I'll be right back to you, and we'll get into the discussion, okay? Okay, audience. Ah, it's a beautiful day. The sun is out. I know we've had some terrible weather this week, and especially down the Panama area of Florida. Pray for all the people there, Father God, that they understand that you will repair them, restore them, and make them better than they were before. But I know right now their hearts are hurting, and some people lost family members, and we just ask you, Father God, to touch their hearts and love on them and let them know that you're with them. You have not left them. You have not left them. And if you are with them, nothing can be against them, no matter what it looks like. And I just thank you this morning, Father, for that. You know, we walk around sometimes in our easy lives and things that just seem to be going so well, and then we forget that people are hurting around the world and they're suffering and things are going on that, you know, we may see it on the television, get a glimpse of it, but it doesn't resonate to the core of our spirit when it's not in our back door and within our home, you know. So we just need to love on them, send love to everybody this morning that has been hurt and damaged all around the world in some way. And just thank God for hugging on them and loving them for us. That's all we can do. Some people we can never get to, but we can always send out a prayer and ask God to do the rest. So, again, good morning. My name is Dr. Bessie, and I'm your host, and I'm here at the roundtable with our co-host, Cynthia Oliver. And we're talking to mothers and daughters around the world as we sit here at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio, where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. That's what we're here for. We're here to help nurture your relationship. You know, may not have all the answers. The Holy Spirit does, but he's going to nurture. He's going to nurture every morning through us a topic, people. If it's not for you, it'll be for someone you know. Anyone and everyone that hears this message or any message that we do, it is done through the Holy Spirit. And when you hear it, he will touch you He will touch your heart, either it's for you or someone you know that he wants you to take that testimony back to. So we're based on Ezekiel 16:44, and it says, where God says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And it's a broad, broad statement, but yet it's so narrow. As is the mother, so is her daughter. You know, you think about that. Ezekiel 16:44. So our stimulating topic today is, if I can't share it with my mother, who can I talk to? See, we're going to go into a topic this morning that I want every daughter to listen to. And keep in mind, every mother is a daughter. And every daughter is a potential mother. So if I can't share my secrets with my mother, who can I talk to? Think about that. Who can you talk to? You might want to text your friends or call them and tell them to tune in. We're at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. I know a lot of you listen to us on the internet. So call them and tell them, you know, to come in on the internet, blogtalkradio.com, and look for Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, you know, and just listen. Or you can refer them back to our website, M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org, mdbn.org, and they can listen to it, this message, anytime. And any message that we've ever done, it can come to our website and key into it. So again, our stimulating topic this morning, if I can't share my secrets with my mother, who can I talk to? So when you look at that particular topic, it brings me back to hidden secrets. The Lord has gotten me on this hidden secret thing now. You know, I remember years and years ago. In fact, I'm going to go back and find it. I'm going to go back in the archives of this radio program. And for 1 year, I can remember the Lord had me on hidden secrets. Hidden secrets. And what we don't realize is that it's really not a hidden secret. Not from God. God sees, hears, and knows it all. But yet we'll walk around tormented in fear. Don't want anybody to find out. Lord, if they found out that I did that, oh my God, what will happen? My friends will stop talking to me. They won't want me in the club. They won't want me in the group. They'll throw me out. I won't have nowhere to go. It's all about man. But you're not afraid that God knows about it. See, the one person that you should reverence and really be fearful of is what God thinks about it. Man can't do you what do to you what God can do to you. Let's say it like that. Man doesn't have a place for eternal life. Man can't heal your body. Man can't fix your problems. Man can't give you peace and joy and happiness. Man can't give you faith. Man can't give you love. You think they can, but they can't. All those things that man portrays is an imitation of the real thing. And the real thing is what God offers. See, man will say, I love you, baby. And in his heart and soul, he loves you the way that he loves you. But it's hard to find man that can love you unconditionally in all that you do. He may love you unconditionally in some things, But there's a hiccup somewhere down the road. You could do that one thing that they're just not going to forgive you for. See? There goes the unconditional love right out the window. Baby, I love you, but I can't forgive you for that one. That goes against the core of my belief. No, you did that? No, I can't forgive you for that. But God doesn't care what it is, what you say, what you've done, how you're being. He loves you anyway, and it's not going to change according to what you've done or said. He may not like the way you're being. I'm sure he doesn't like the way we're being because that goes against the word. But he loves you enough to know and believe in you enough that he believes that one day someone will come across your path, like Cynthia and I this morning on the radio, that may say a word that the Holy Spirit could use us to say one word that could change your thinking, that could renew your soul. It could be that one word that went and said, wow, I got it. It only takes one word. And if you think about it, you could be listening to any minister, not just me. And they could say one thing and all of a sudden something shifts in your consciousness and your intro conversations start, you know, conversating from a different perspective, thinking, wow, I never thought about it that way. And something shifts in you. That's the way you get saved. All of a sudden, you decide that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You make a decision, something shifts inside of your consciousness. And your soul receives the information. Your soul is your mind. And you become a new person. It's just that simple. To change something is to make a decision to change. When you make a decision, says, you know, I'm not doing that anymore, then you've just changed, if you mean it. If you say, you know, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, come and live in my heart. I repent for all that I've done. I'm not going to do those things anymore. You saved. It's simple. So now when we get back, if I can't talk to my mother, then who can, if I can't, you know, share my secrets with my mother, then who can I talk to? It kind of reminds us of the Me Too movement. And I don't like to get into a lot of things that are happening out in the world because I don't have enough information to get that broad and that deep on it. A lot of people are familiar with it. I understand it. And when I hear it, it's a decision that a person makes, and they say, you know what? Me too. I'm going to tell it. Me too. I'm going to let the world know. Me too. And that releases them. But God already knew about their me too. But then you say, why didn't you tell your mother? Why didn't you tell your mother? Because like last week, the Holy Spirit was saying that we need to follow the instructions. Because we are out of order, we don't know how to share our secrets with our mother. And it's something that it just can't start when you're 15, 18, 25, 35. And when I say it just can't start there, I'm speaking of the setup of it. Of course, you could go to your mother at 80 and tell a secret. But look how much life, decision-making, things that have happened that has touched your lives that you may have made a different decision had you not had that inner secret, your intro conversations not beating you up about a hidden secret. But let's just go back and say from birth, the 9 months mother's talking to you. You're born, mother's talking to you. You're a little girl, you're talking, and your mother's saying to you, you're only 1 year old, you're talking, and you're moving around, and your mother said, you can always tell mommy, no matter what, mommy's going to listen. You always have an opinion. I think we were to set the stage where a young lady could say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to tell my mommy. Because see what, you have set her mind, you have set her soul in a position to trust you. But even when we do that, young mothers, now that you're listening, even when you do that, or women that, young ladies that don't even have babies, you know, this word will set you up and your daughter, or even your son. We're not anti young men, for your children to come to you. Because when they get 12 or 13 and they have not been able to confide in you, they've been confiding in their friends. Someone the same age, don't have no more wisdom or experience than they have, but that person just shows an interest, shows that they care. So, you know, my friend, she listens to me. She listens to me. She's the one that I can tell all my secrets to. Until that friend decides she won't tell somebody, then all of a sudden your heart is crushed, your world is upside down, and that can be devastating, and that can be, it can have a lifetime effect on your soul. Because now I don't trust anybody, and the people that come that can be trusted, you don't trust them because you were hurt. And I know for a fact, It can do damage. I remember when I was 15 years old and my very best girlfriend, and I don't know, that it just came from my spirit to tell this. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit ain't gonna let you get by. He just told me to tell the story. I don't think I've ever told this story, but anyway, he had the secrets up. I was 15 years old, and oh man, I was in love with this guy named William, and he was my boyfriend, you know, from eighth grade. My mother didn't let me date, but you know how you have a boyfriend and you talk to him at school and all that, and so I couldn't go out where my friends, they would sneak out the window and go out and hang out, but I knew Pearl, I would have had to pick out the casket and the grave. I'd snuck out of a window at my house. Trust me, I was too afraid of my mother. Now, Daddy, I felt like would give me the benefit of the doubt, but Mother, wouldn't have happened. I just wouldn't. When they said, come on, they tap on my window, come on, let's go. No, 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 no. And in fact, y'all need to get away from my window before Mother comes, because then Mother would, you know, she'd spank them all. But then she would come back and she would deliver the message. She would tell me everything that if William did anything, she would come back and tell me. So I'm thinking, I got somebody watching him. You know, this is my friend. Until I realized she was the one that was actually hanging out with William. And he was the one that came and told me. So, you know, and crushed, I mean, that was the time. That was the first crush of my heart from a friend. And it affected me for years. I just didn't trust people. I didn't trust, you know, other women. I had an issue with that. And I'm telling you, it will follow you until you deal with it. You don't realize the effect that it has because it alters your faith in people. And for years, and I would even go as far as to say now, I have to really work on my trust issues because it had that devastating effect on me. And some of this I'm not realizing until I'm talking to you now. This is an honest statement. It has affected me. And so I had to, you know, in order to get past it to some degree, and I'm just thinking now as I'm talking, it's just like something that's coming, like, you know, that was the effect for years. Because I know Cynthia would say to me sometimes, Dr. Fletcher, you just don't trust people. No, I don't. I'm watching you everywhere you go. It takes me a long time. And, of course, you know, I'm like Steve Harvey. I'm not done yet. You know, some of you have reached perfection, I'm just saying thank you, Lord. I praise the Lord for you. But I'm still a work in progress. But I thank God I'm not the same person I was then. The more I spend time with the Lord, the less it bothers me. And I've gotten to the point now I can relinquish things to other people and trust them. I don't know if I'd ever be able to trust in and everybody that walks up to me. I mean, you know, that might be a caution, but I've learned to allow people to be who they are and to allow a trust. And somewhere along the line, I think I still have certain guards that might be a fence. I don't know, but I know one thing, this is a lesson, this is something for me to work on, and I'll start talking to the Lord about this because he opened it up this morning. I mean, this is back when I was 15 and 16 years old, somewhere along, and I couldn't, a little boy couldn't come see me, so it must have been 15 because I think mother started letting him come to the house when I was 16. But it was just, I was devastated. That was my best friend, I thought. So what am I saying? I'm trying to share with you that, you know, I didn't tell my mother that. Why didn't I tell my mother that? She just knew that we wasn't friends anymore, and she would ask me what happened. But I really never did tell her all of it. I just said she did something, and she's not my friend anymore. But I never told her what the something was. Why didn't I tell her that? We talked about so much, she would have understood. And, of course, I probably know why. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's because my mother always told me that she was not my friend. That's exactly why I didn't tell her. Holy Spirit, just remind me of that. My mother kept telling me, she's not your friend. But I didn't believe her. Yes, she is. Must have known she really isn't your friend. I don't know how she knew that. She picked up on something. She had a signal or something. But she knew that that young lady was not my friend. And she told me that about a couple people. She's not your friend. So daughters, mothers do have wisdom and understanding and foresight, you know. And sometimes we just say, you know, nah, she doesn't know. She is my friend. Well, that has panned out to be true years later. People mother have told me was not my friend really turned out not to be my friend. So maybe I needed to have listened. So it's when we look at the Me Too movement and people say, well, why did they wait so long to say something? They must be lying because it took such a long time. No, things happen. You try to deal with it to the best of your ability. But what I'm saying is that we have got to learn to trust our mothers. And mothers, we've got to be in a position that our daughters can come to us. And we got to set that up and say, let's say if you just didn't set it up and you say, you know what, I failed my daughter in some way. I should have been there. I made some mistakes along the way. We can repent. We can go to God. He can redeem the time. Go back and set it up. All you got to do is apologize. I am so sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm sorry if I missed you somewhere along the line. But can we just start all over again? Whatever it is that you're going through, I'm here. I'm going to listen. Tell me. Some things you may not be able to fix, but just being a good listener and just hugging her and just letting her know, I love you, and from this moment on, whatever it is, I'm with you. I'm your friend, and I'm your mother. And we can go through it together. Can you imagine all those girls or ladies that said me too, if they could start having this conversation with their mother? What an awesome thing. So that's my take on it, and I'm going to go back to the switchboard. Let's see. Good morning. Cynthia?
Dr. Fletcher?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I was just... It was amazing. I'm talking about hidden secrets, and the Holy Spirit just said, you know, share this story. And it really brought alive something that happened when I was 15 years old. And this audience, no, I'm 27 and a half now. That's quite a few years, just a joke audience. But, you know, that's a serious matter. What is your take on it?
Well, for me, you know, it can be fortunate or unfortunate. A lot of, from my perspective, a lot of girls or women, if you will, have never had that option where you can tell your mother anything, because I didn't have my mother. And then I had a grandmother that was old school. You couldn't really talk to her about life issues because she thought you were being fast, or she thought you were out of order, and she would just, you know, tell you to go sit down somewhere. So a lot of girls don't tell their mothers issues because of the way they were raised, and then they come into motherhood with the way they were raised, and so they never form that relationship where they know how to ensure their daughter that you can tell me anything. And so, unfortunately, I never had that option as a child, or as a daughter, to tell my mother or my grandmother life issues. And so a lot of secrets was kept, the molestation and all of that was kept, because I didn't have that option. And when I was about 17 years old, my uncle tried to molest me or rape me, whatever you want to call it. And I told my grandmother, and she didn't believe me. And so that in itself was devastating to me, because why would I tell that lie?
Mm-hmm.
And so last night I was at a TED Talk in Boca Raton, and one of the subject matters is education killing innovation? That was the topic. And what I got from the topic was that we are raised in such a way that we don't question authority. We don't share certain things with authority because of fear. And the whole gamut, or the message, if you will, was talking about a plane crash that could have been prevented if the co-pilot had shared prior to the crash, because they received the information from the black box afterwards of the conversation. If the co-pilot had shared his thoughts with what was going on in the situation, the plane might have not killed 200 and some odd people. And so when we are taught a certain way, we're taught that what happens in this house stays in this house, then you have these hidden secrets as a result of what we've been taught. And so for me, when we don't have the privilege, or we don't know that it's okay to share, that's what stops a lot of daughters from sharing with their mothers. Mothers have to seek the word of God to understand how important it is that we reason with our children, and our children be able to reason with us. And that is scriptural, by the way, audience.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to our mothers out of fear oftentimes. And it can be devastating. A lot of things that happened to me, I carried it into my adulthood. By the time I was in my I was in my 40s before I really shared anything that happened to me with anybody. And I was just turned on to such an awesome Christian psychologist who was my therapist. I told this lady things that I had never told anybody because I didn't feel that I had the privy to tell anybody prior to that. And so when we're taught to keep secrets, we suffer and we are stuck right there where all of this took place, and we're taught to keep secrets. And there's a saying that we are only as sick as our secrets. Therefore, it is our secrets that keep us sick. Mothers, we have to get to a point where we are able to allow our children to have a voice. That was another message last night, the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
Your children are voiceless when they can't share things with you. Because if they can't share them with you, they can't share them with anybody.
That's true. That is true.
And I don't know where the emotion is coming up with this right now, Dr. Fletcher, but I just know that I never had that privilege. I don't know what that looks like to be able to share secrets that haunted me for so many years, because I just never had that privilege to share with a mother or grandmother.
Yeah, someone that sharing with a therapist is one thing, and it got you where you need to go because you were in school and you needed to do this piece before they would release you, if my memory served me right. So
yes, ma'am.
That was major, because you would not have been able to work with women today had you not had that breakthrough. You had to share this information, because can you imagine if you had not told anyone and you out here trying to help other women? See, that was the setup that God got to get you through, to get to, so that you could be, he could be able to use you and use your testimony to help someone else. So, you know, I don't
Absolutely.
Have answers, but I do know, you know, that's why I'm telling young mothers that go back, you know, and look at where, you know, where you come from, and do something different with your children. We can switch it. We don't have to do the same thing that we were taught, because God has a newness in you. You are unique yourself. Seek God to help to find. Okay, now I'm not going to pass this on to my daughter. And as I was telling my story, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, that wasn't devastating. It was devastating, because, see, you have to know who I am when it comes to a friend. A friend to me is blood. A friend to me is family. When I say you are my friend, you are my friend. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to do anything to harm you. Whatever I have, you have. I mean, a friend to me is my heart. So when you break someone's heart, it's the same effect regardless. And so the heart is broken. So, you know, one thing as I was telling that story, I remember I said to myself one day, and I can't tell you how old I was, because I used to get a lot of spanking. Well, you know, I was always into something, and my mouth was always talking to people I shouldn't be talking to, so my mother gonna spank me, because she was like, no, you just don't get to, you know, I always thought I was grown in some ways, and I was always an old soul. So, you know, I just felt like, well, that was injustice and I should address it. And, you know, of course, that was the old school and you don't do it that way. So, but I said to myself one day, I said, you know what? I'm not going to spank my daughter because someone, another adult come and say she did something. Before I punish her, I'm going to find out what she has to say. She's always going to have an opinion. And I, when Angie was little, I would tell her that from the time she was able to talk. I said, you know what? You have an opinion, and I'm going to listen. But whatever you got to say, Mommy's going to listen. Well, she was about 3 years old, and she did something. Oh, I know what it was. She got up on a chair, and then she put a box and something other else to get up on the counter so she can get some cornflakes. And I was in the bed just sleeping that morning, and I didn't even know she had gotten out of her bed. And the Lord said, you need to go in the kitchen. I went in the kitchen, and she was weaving and wobbing like she was going to fall off that box. I was so scared, but I got to, and I grabbed her. And when I did, I spanked her. And it just it broke her heart. And she started crying, and she went in the room, and she came back out, and she looked at me, and she says, Mommy, you remember you told me that I could always talk to you, and then I always have an opinion. And I looked at her because I was crying too because, you know, I just always said I would never spank her without finding out what happened. And I said, yes. And she said, I don't understand why a big person like you would beat up on a little person like me. And I mean, that little girl about 3 years old, short as all get up. You know, she ain't that tall now. That crushed me. And I told her, I said, that'll never happen again. You could always, we will talk it out. And she is in her 40s today, and we do the same thing today. We're going to talk it out. And the stage was set from that point. And mothers, we got to be there for our daughters. We've got to in order to raise up a whole new generation. We got to. So thank you for sharing
and you
that.
Know, the person. Can you hear me? And I adopted uh-huh. that same concept with my children. I was determined. And you know me and my son Keith, we go back and forth because in a respectful way, audience, don't get it twisted. But I was determined to let my children have a voice. I was not going to uh-huh. shut them down. Anything they have to share with me, they can. And they still uh-huh. do to this day, and they're 30 and 27.
Uh-huh. And you know what? I learned... Sometimes I'd be like, Lord, I should have never told her she had a voice. So see, what she tell them now, you can't take it back. Because then they don't lie, they don't trust you. And sometimes I want to be like, Lord, why did I tell her that? Because I have to listen. She'll remind me to this day, you know. And so you got to shut your mouth and listen. And because if you break that bond, you can't get it back. It'll be hard because, see, trust is something that is hard to get back. It never gets back into the same spot. It'll sit beside it, but it will never get back in that same spot. It's like somebody hurt you. You know, you love them, you forgive them, but that relationship has been torn. And so, therefore, even if you stitch it up, you can still see the scene because you can't get back to that same spot. So let me go.
Amen.
Deborah was with us. Let me see. Hold 1 second. I don't mean to cut across you. I'm just going to open up for Deborah. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
All right, I'm glad you could get on. Okay, Cynthia, go ahead and finish. I just want to bring Deborah live.
No, I'm done. I just wanted to, I'm done. Go ahead, Deborah. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning. I got on not long ago experiencing some sizzling in the phone when I dialed a number, and I said, oh, boy, I'm not putting my ear to that. And so I just cut it off for 20 minutes or whatever. So I'm late. With hearing the whole contents of the topic, but I could elaborate just a little bit because I'm there with the you know, having a voice with my mom at 50 something, you know, yeah, 50 something, and I'm just learning that. Let me say this first. I just want to thank you, Dr. Fletcher, for the words you gave me last week about the Bible study, and Mom said that God was dealing with her. And it was just confirmed when I asked her, can we begin to study the word? And it was confirmed. So I just want to thank you for the godly advice and counseling. And Cynthia, y'all always be on point. God is just so awesome how he bring it together, you know? So I want to say
Amen.
That publicly in front of everybody. I thank you, ladies, part of my life. And you just don't know how you touch me with your wisdom and your godly advice because I don't seek advice everywhere. You know what I mean? Because everybody
mm-hmm.
is kind of, you know, so I treasure that. Thank you so much. So back to the topic. I realized that I didn't have that relationship with my mom, you know, leaving home at an early age. And I'm trying to now, 40 years later, actually exactly 40 years later since I left home at 13, and I'm trying to establish a healthy relationship. You know, well, we could talk about, you know, if I offend you. There's times that she told me that she didn't tell me because she shuts down, and when she shuts down, she don't say nothing. And then when she come back, she might say a little too much. You know what I mean? And so we try to find a balance. But I remember one time I was joking with her about something, and God let me know you offend your mother. And I called her back, and, Mom, I want to apologize because I felt like I offended you. You know, I carried the joke too far. He says, yes, you did. And so, you know, learning to be, so I'm asking God, you teach me because Mom don't know how to communicate either. You know, and so sometimes what the parents ain't got because the parents ain't got it to give them. And so it's got to be godly advice. It's got to be godly guidance, godly counseling, because only God knows the mind of each and every one of us on this earth. He knows how we function. He knows what makes us tick. He knows everything about us. And so I just want to be more in tune to God and what His Spirit is leading me to say and to do. And that way I can learn how to communicate with Mom, because Mom don't know how to communicate either. So Mom has got to seek God too, so she can learn how to communicate with her daughter that's full grown. Because I can't even remember ever having a conversation before I left the house about anything. One time she pulled me in and she said something about, she caught me on the porch with a boy. She pulled me in and stripped me down and gave me the examination. You know what I mean? But there was no talking, really. She pulled me in, you bring it, you're going to take care of it. You get one. That's about the longest conversation we ever had about boys and, you know, being curious. And, you know, to this day I had one yet, but, you know, so we conversation is I believe also with my siblings the same thing. So I don't think it's just me that we're not learning how to communicate. I think it's just my grandmother was old fashioned, and you stay in a child's face, and you know you don't be looking in grown folks' mouth, and you don't repeat. You company come, you go to your room, and you know you just don't say nothing. You just get moving. You know, when grown people come, you just get moving. And so there wasn't a lot of talking. You know the rules. So now that, you know, I'm really trying to learn more and more, and I understand. I see after the last episode with me and Mom that Mom don't know how to communicate either. And so we see God for this guidance and learning how to say what bothers you or what she'd say. I'm blessed. I thank God. She just had a birthday. Wednesday, Thursday, thank God.
All right.
And who would have thought, she said this in a text, she said, who would have thought that we would have made it this far?
Amen.
You know, and so let's know that there's still some things that, a little residue that may be a little pain that I thought that the pain was so severe that we would never, ever be able to have a relationship because of the pain was so severe. So little stuff come out, and she says she forgave, but I believe she still healing, and it shows up sometimes in her behavior, you know, but she don't know how to, we never just sat down and talked about it. I didn't apologize, and I done sung Candace Staten's song to you. I thought you might know it night you take the flow, praying I make it home.
Sorry.
Here you cry for me, drew me close to the cavalry. You know, I done sang that song so many times to her, and, you know, and I cry. So I think that it's just a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge of how do you communicate? How do you let a person be autonomous and be able to train with this feeling of respect? You know? For me, I think it's God is to be the orchestrator and the facilitator of all parties involved.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, you start that Bible study. When you start that Bible study.
I'm sorry,
study,
Dr. Fletcher.
That's okay. When you start that Bible study, you know, the Lord is gonna move. So don't try to fix it. You just keep singing the song, and God's going to do the rest. Go ahead, Cynthia. We got about 3 seconds.
Yes, Deborah, I just said that's and you said she don't know, and my grandmother didn't know, and I didn't have that option with my mother. But Scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved, so we can know. So you and your mother starting this Bible study together, you guys are going to learn together how to communicate as mother and daughter. Key right there.
Amen.
And that is Scripture. That is 2 Timothy. I'm going to give you the Scripture. That is 2 Timothy 2:15.
And then
we
you have to look
to
at the age.
How to do things.
the age of your mother, too. That's a different era. We're from a different era. Look at the children today. So we have to say, you know what, I'm going to have to give her some slack because, like you say, her mother didn't know she was from a different era, so that was even deeper into go somewhere and sit down and shut your mouth, you know. And so you just have to say, you know what, I'm going to meet her where she is, and we're going to let the Lord lead and guide us through this, and don't even try to fix it no more. You done got the Bible study set up. Just start doing the Bible study, and God, the Holy Spirit will move. The Holy Spirit will move. Trust me.
Amen.
All right. Well, I thank you, ladies. This has been a quick show. I'm telling you, I can't believe this thing is over. My goodness. Hold on. I'm going to be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, that's our show. It went by fast. Thank you, Deborah, for sharing. I thank the Lord that you got on. You always add such a flavor to it. You know, when we get deep, you take us high. I like that.
Amen. Love you, ladies. Blessings.
Love you. All right, bye, audience.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.